Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Doug Mallard.
Salud, Doug Benson. Is that French?
Guess who we have on the show today?
Who's that?
Well, I told you already. But it's Justin Long.
Yeah. I've been excited.
Star of Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story, Tusk, Drag Me to Hell, Accepted, and many more.
Many, many more.
Do you have some questions for him?
I do. I'm excited to ask. Can't wait
for him to get on. In that case, let's do this. The funny thing happened where somebody wrote to me on Twitter that they think the theme song is just that they keep repeating, "Where are the drugs?"
Not the worst thing to have.
Where are the drugs?
that's a hit song right there.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel bad about having a child say that. But those are the words. Where are the drugs?
I think it's a cool kid.
But speaking of things that are missing, like the drugs, I got all excited that Justin Long was going to be here, but also I'm realizing now that I hadn't gotten a lot of confirmation that he was really going to, you know, sit down at a device and contact us at this time. So, yeah, I feel like he didn't remember, or well, I guess that's the only.
It is a pandemic.
I don't think he's sitting somewhere going, "I'm supposed to be on that show, but I'm not going to show up."
Yeah. No, I don't think he's intentionally dodging us.
Yeah, I think he's just not. I think he's just not good at managing these sort of things. I know that every time I've had him on any of my shows, that there's usually an assistant or somebody has to kind of jump in and help him figure things out and figure out which city he's in, because he moves around a lot between his career and just he's just a natural moving around guy. Because I asked him to do Thursday, which is our normal tape day.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, I can't, because I'm going to, you know," and this was after he had soft committed to it. A few days ago, he said, "Oh, I can't do Thursday because I'm going to Albany." Maybe I shouldn't have said where he's going. Anyway.
and that's what he gets.
And he goes, "But I can do Friday." Like he thinks that it's like a daily podcast, I guess, or a do it whenever you feel like it
right.
podcast. So I wrote back, "Okay, let's do Friday, same time." And then I sent him, you know, the information and the link via email. And I haven't heard back at all.
He disappeared?
Yeah.
Maybe this is like, I hope he's not in trouble. Wait. Is he here?
What do you mean?
I thought I saw him on the call.
Oh, hey. Really? Justin?
Hey, I'm so sorry I'm late, Doug.
Oh. He's turned way down.
Can you hear me? Oh, wait. Should I turn it up? Can you hear me? Oh,
he's here, though?
He's here.
Yeah, can you hear me, Doug?
I can barely hear you, dude.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let me try.
Getting better.
This is so exciting.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Hold on.
You got this.
Wait. Okay, is that?
Yeah, there you go.
Headphones on.
Hey, oh, my God. I can't believe this is really happening.
Is that better? Is that better?
It sounds great.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
Hey,
Hey, Doug.
Other Doug here. How are you?
Doug, how are you?
Good. We were getting concerned. We were about to
Yeah, we were talking call. Complete shit is what we were doing.
Oh, shit. I wish I'd heard that part. Oh.
Who the hell does Justin Long think he is?
Well, I'll be able to hear it when, because you'll, this is recorded, right? And you'll
yeah,
hear it.
So, when yeah. you post it, you'll be able to hear all that shit.
Oh, I can't wait.
What did you just crack open there?
Oh my God. I'm going to tell you because I want to be honest, but it's really embarrassing. It is a little, you know, it's really funny. You know, those little, tiny little 8 ounce, seltzer waters that Polar.
Oh yeah.
mix. It's a unicorn kiss.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's Friday night. I just cracked open it's my second, not to brag, drink brag, but it's my second unicorn kiss of the evening.
All right.
Delicious.
How much alcohol is in a unicororn kiss?
zero, anything. There's just a couple unicorn kisses. It's trying to see what's in it. It's hard to read this can. Oh, not that I should be reading it. This is already boring. I'm sorry. But this is what it says on the can. Once upon a time, a great, great grandfather came upon a unicorn with which he traded his pocket full of rainbows for the sparkle that one day would become Polar Seltzer. That's what's on the can.
Wow. This is, yeah. That's a true story?
I don't know if it's true. It's it's what they claim that's the story behind Seltzer Jr. They're Seltzer Juniors. They're really good.
I often feel like seltzer water is like a kiss from a unicorn.
Yeah, me too. I've gotten really into it. During the pandemic, I have all different, I love Waterloo. I have my favorite flavors and brands. And it's something I used to, kind of like mushrooms for a long time. I hated mushrooms. I've never hated seltzer water, but I've just never been into it. And now I would say I drink as much seltzer water as regular water. I just keep imagining people listening to this. It's so boring.
We usually go a little deeper into the show before we get into anybody's beverage regimen. we really want to get to know you in broader strokes than that.
Well, this is really it.
It's your whole world. The show is basically a chance for me and my friend Doug to get together and just, you know, talk about being named Doug, and we try to get other people named Doug to participate. But you're our first Justin, which leads me to the question, what do you feel like, have you always been happy with the name Justin? Like, do you feel like it's been a positive influence on your life to be called Justin?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not crazy about my last name. I don't like long. There's something about long that just kind of falls flat. It just kind of sits there. It's sort of long. I don't like saying it long. And it's also, it doesn't sound like what it is. I mean, it's like, it's certainly not long. But Justin, I've always liked, when I was younger, there were few, it was a much rarer name, I think, much more rare name than it's become. And I always wonder if that has to do with Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake. There've been, since I was a kid, there were never really any famous Justins. So I wonder how much that has to do with it. You know, I bet it's influenced people. I noticed more Justin.
A lot of people would not name their children Justin because of Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's maybe that's true. But I think it's probably impacted the name. It's probably been a net gain for the name, don't you think?
Yeah.
And what about Dougs when you were growing up? Like, who was the big Doug?
Oh,
the top Doug.
Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about this on the show that there's a lot of Dougs in sports.
Yeah.
And we think that we've come to the conclusion that the reason that happens is because, you know, they have to be good at something because their name is Doug.
Yeah. Let's say it's also a kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of a tough name, Doug. Justin's a little softer.
Yeah, I guess that there's some truth to that. Maybe I think more Doug is just kind of has a plainness to it.
I think it's kind of goofy.
Doug, yeah, maybe a little goofy. Doug,
kind of
yeah,
it's good.
It sounds like dog. But when you know, speaking of silly names, my name was almost my parents almost named me Cuthbert.
What?
Yeah, because apparently, I think I was, I don't want to think too much about it, but I was conceived in England. My dad was teaching at Cambridge, and so I think that's where I was conceived. So I think I think in England at the time, Cuthbert wasn't an uncommon name, or at least it was a name that would fit a little bit better in that area.
So if your name's Cuthbert, do people just immediately jump to just calling you Bert all the time?
Yeah, I think so. That's what an ex-girlfriend of mine to this day still calls me, Bertie. Because I think it would have been Bert. Yeah. Ookie, Bert, which I, of course, immediately think of Sesame Street. But the reason they didn't was because I was born, which I'm so appreciative of. I was born the day after the Feast of St. Justin. St. Justin was a martyr who, and the story that I had heard about him was that he was beheaded. And on the way up to the gallows, this is the part of the story that I always really appreciated and hope is true. The executioners asked if he needed help getting up the ladder. And he said, no, but I might need some help getting down. Which I think would be really cool if that happened, that he was willing and able to joke right up until,
right,
you know, right up until the end.
There's a chance they're going to change their minds. So that's why he was.
Maybe he was just fighting he wasn't accepting his fate.
Maybe he's just, I can win him over at the last minute with my
yeah, the little charm.
Yeah. Nothing like a witticism to get people to change their mind about killing you. what's been your situation with people named Doug? Have you had many Dougs in your life, Justin?
Doug. My brother's very good friend's name is Doug Goodman. So that's when I think of Doug, I think of him, and he's a great guy. I really like that Doug. I know Doug. The cartoon was a little bit after my cartoon watching days. I think I'm a little old for that. But I'm trying to think of associations of Doug. I think really, Doug, it's you now. I mean, it's Benson. Doug Flutie was big for me growing up because Doug Flutie was a short on the shorter end. And I was very small when I was a kid. Doug, who else was Doug?
Did you have any friends named Doug?
Doug. Yes, I did. Doug. There was Doug. I'm trying to remember now. He wasn't much of a friend, but no, I knew a few Dougs, but not well. There was a stage manager guy at the theater I did in high school who was Doug, and he was kind of those stage manager guys who were like really officious, and their territory is sacred, and he was that kind of guy. He was like, all right, hands off the lighting rig. You know, he was really like, that was a Doug I knew. Doug Lambert, my friend Pete Lambert's brother. I like that Doug. Yeah. Good Dougs. I don't know any bad Dougs.
Doug.
Yeah. Very good Dougs. You know, Justin was, there were more at the time. There were more Dustins there, or at least I would say as many Dustins. And now I feel their Dustins are fewer and farther between.
Yeah, Dustin doesn't seem to be. There's the comedian Duncan Trussell, but that's
whoa.
Duncan.
Whoa, Jesus, yeah. But that's a different. Yeah, Dustin.
It's so funny that a guy named Duncan came to mind when I was trying to think of Dustin.
Well, that's how few there are. There are a few Chesters. You rarely hear the name Chester. And that's the name that I get that people mistake my name for because I tend to mumble. And if I mumble Justin, it sounds like Chester. So if you go, my name's Justin. Chester.
They stop calling kids Chester, I think, because it rhymes too easily with molester.
Oh, yeah. I bet you're right. Yeah, well, or like they stopped calling kids Dick because it became more synonymous with penises, I guess. And like, but that for a while, that was a really, my uncle's name is Dick. Doug, I'm sure I've told you this. My uncle's name is Dick Long. Sure I've told you this. Yeah. And he insists on being called Dick. I mean, he was, you know, it's Richard, but he holds on to the Dick.
Yeah, Richard's, there's so many Richards that, like, it's such a great excuse to not be called Dick, to just say,
I know. Hey,
Richard.
I know, it's noble. It's like there's Richard the Lionhearted. It's like a proud name.
But they love it. They love being Dicks.
Yeah.
I oddly don't have a lot of Justins in my life, but I have a ton of Cuthberts, which is weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I am so glad. I don't know what they were thinking. It was that close. And it's not like my other brothers. I have two other brothers. They don't have like Cuthberty type exotic names. One's Damien and one's Christian. So they're all sort of in the, you know, the Catholic saints family. But Cuthbert would have been a real departure.
And there's that actress Cuthbert, right?
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah. She got attacked by what was it on 24? Like a cougar?
Oh, did she? Not like the woman, the beautiful, the pretty, like older lady.
What?
Like the animal, you mean?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or maybe it was a mountain lion, but like that's where that show, you know, jumped the shark when his daughter was getting attacked by wild animals.
Well, that's something you often read about, right? The mountain lions attacking people, and certainly in California, that happens a lot. Defending 24. I never saw it. I just remember Alicia Cuthbert getting in trouble about Alicia Cuthbert once because I was dating the girl I was dating said, "Do you?" She had mentioned somebody on TV, some actor she had a crush on, and I was like. She talked about him so much that I was finally like, you know, you're an actress. You might, you might work with that guy. And it's going to be really weird for me. And she's like, oh, come on. It's just like a celebrity crush or whatever. I'm sure you have those. I'm sure you have one. And I was like, not really. And she said, come on. And she sort of pressed me. She was like, there's got to be somebody, some actress you're attracted to, you find attractive. And I was like, well, yeah. She's like, well, then that can be yours. And like, who would you say? Who would you say that is? And I should have known better, but I was younger and I didn't realize that this would be such a trap. And so, and that movie, The Girl Next Door, was about to come out and there were ads for it running all the time. And so she just popped into my mind because she was, you know, around and she's pretty. And so I said, well, I guess Alicia Cuthbert. And shortly afterwards, I got offered a movie with Alicia Cuthbert. And my girlfriend at the time was like, absolutely not. It became an issue. But yeah, the actors can't really
do
that.
You didn't do the movie?
Well, no, I ended up doing another one. It wasn't really because of that. It wasn't really because of that. It was because of another. Now, if this wasn't a douchey story, it's now become a douchey story because I got offered, I got offered something else that I did.
Yeah, that worked out okay. You dodged that bullet.
Yeah, yeah, thank God.
Yeah, and have you ever met Alicia Cuthbert?
I have. She's really sweet and very funny. Have you had her on your show?
She is very funny on that show, Happy Endings.
Happy Endings, yeah. She is funny Canadian. Yeah, I often find Canadians to be funny. I don't think I've ever met an unfunny Canadian.
I guess that's, you know, similar to our theory about Dougs need to either pull themselves up out of being called Doug or just go with what happens. And with Canadians, I feel like we think they're all really, really funny because, all the ones that are really funny end up coming to the United States.
Right. And like SCC, yeah, there's a lot of
so many amazing people.
Improv actors, yeah.
All those early SNL people and SCTV people were all Canadian.
And I was such a huge fan of Michael J. Fox growing up that I just thought that accent was cool. I didn't realize it was a Canadian accent. I thought it was like I remember saying sorry and about. He doesn't say about as much, but he really says sorry. Sorry. But I remember saying sorry that way because I thought it was just the cool way to say it. He said it that way. Now, you never find Doug's. You never find that there are. You've never met a Doug with two G's the way some Greg's have two G's at the end, do you?
Yeah, it's just only maybe like in like, you know, a parody name or a rap name.
We don't need another reason.
Nobody's just given the double G's.
Yeah, that's tough to hit that Greg.
Doug's a tough enough. There's enough issues with Doug because, like, you know, typically when you like order takeout or something, or Starbucks or whatever, they have to write your name down.
Oh, yeah.
Some people have a real, real tough time with, like, they just never learn to spell it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. I get an H at the end a lot.
Somehow just D-U-G sometimes, sadly.
Yeah.
Really? Well, an H changes the whole thing. Isn't that just become dough?
Right.
It does, but for some reason, once they've written D-O-U-G, they're like, well, this is the word I've written.
That's really funny. Wait, do you ever think about going by Douglas? I mean, that sounds really hoity-toity, maybe.
I did initially, you know, when I got my SAG card, I went Douglas because there was already a Doug Benson, and I thought that I needed to do that, but then you know, in retrospect, you know, that guy didn't work out so great for him, I guess, because I've never heard of him.
So was he Douglas? Did he have any credit? Because a similar thing happened to me when I went to get my join the union. There was a guy, there was a Justin Long who had, I think he had one credit. He was like, he was eligible for union membership, but I don't think he had signed up yet. So I got in just in time, but I found out that that guy was, I don't think that was his real name. I think he's an adult film star named Justin Long. So I think I don't know if I got
well, you know, Michael J. Fox, he just put the
J
because there was already a Michael Fox.
Michael A. And then Michael A. Fox. Does it sound pretentious or no, not pretentious, but like arrogant?
Yeah, well, because Fox was like an actual word people threw around for like an attractive.
Yeah,
word.
yeah, Foxy.
Yeah, so Michael A. Fox, just he just couldn't do that. So he picked the J just to.
Well, it was also as an homage to Michael Pollard. Michael J. Pollard, was that the actor?
That might have been why he picked the J.
Yeah,
he could pick almost any letter. Almost any letter sounds okay there. Just A is the only one that really doesn't work.
Yeah.
Z.
Michael Z. Michael Z. Fox.
All right. Well, that's we got into that. So now the next segment of the show, what we'd like to do, if it's all right with you, is Doug and I have each written down five questions to ask you without consulting with the other. So it might be a little overlap.
Okay.
But we're each going to ask you five questions for a total of 10 questions. And, you know, you don't have to answer them if they get too personal or something, but
okay.
I don't know what kind of questions Doug came up with. I only know mine. And we will do that right after a really quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we're back. We're here with Justin Long, but you knew that already, because who would fast forward to this part of the show? That'd be a strange move. We got 10 questions for Justin Long. Do you want to go first or second, Doug Mellard?
I'll go second. You go for it.
All right. My first question for you, Justin, is you don't have to name names.
But oh, no.
Is there a director or actor slash actress that you've ever worked with who you would never work with again, even if you were offered $29 million for the role?
$29 million?
Yeah,
no.
Somebody that you disliked enough that you'd be like,
no.
I would rather not have that $29 million.
No, absolutely not. I would, no. I would work with anyone I've worked with for that.
All right, let me try to come at that from a different angle. What about, is there any role you've played that you would not, you wouldn't go back to for that kind of money?
For $29 million?
Yeah.
No, I would, not at all. No. I mean, there's some that I've like, I mean, if it were 29 thousand maybe it'd be different. No, I would do anything for within reason.
All right.
I do anything outside of reason.
The reason I ask is because that's the offer to Will Ferrell to do a sequel to Elf, and he says no, he's not gonna do it.
Oh well, Doug, this is conjecture, but I think it's, isn't it because he, well, I don't even want to say this, but I had heard, this is so gossipy, I had heard that he didn't want to do it with Favreau.
Yeah, that's the pervasive rumor, but there's a new special Movies That We Love.
Yeah, I just saw it, yeah.
And they don't mention whether they got along or didn't get along.
Like, no.
It'll come up.
No, there's some, did you watch it, Doug?
I did, and I was, they were talking a lot of smack about James Caan, so I thought, well, if Will Ferrell and Favreau really didn't get along, that'll come up in this special, and then they never talk about their relationship other than they both, I think they say something at one point that they both had very strong opinions, but I mean, my opinion is that they're two of them together made a movie that worked.
I know, right. I know. A classic, I know. I wonder, and also just knowing them both a little bit, I can't imagine, it's just so hard for me to imagine them not getting along enough to work together. It's so strange.
It's also weird to hear strong opinions with, and thinking about the film Elf and how silly it is, you know?
I know.
And I know strong opinions can happen on any set, but it's just so silly.
I know.
Think as an actor, that might not appeal to him to be buddy again, because, you know, if he's lived in New York with Zooey Deschanel and their children for 20
years, that's the thing. Right.
Would buddy still act that way? You know, he's mature so much that it might be
weird to like have that character without the innocence of the, somebody who hasn't gone through life stuff. It might not work. I mean, that's the whole character.
Well, and it's been celebrated.
Maybe he doesn't like the whatever storyline they've come up with for a sequel.
Yeah, right. I mean, that makes sense. And also a guy like that, you can imagine, I mean, $29 million, of course, is still probably a lot of money, but he must have so much money already that is it worth tarnishing a legacy of one of his most beloved movies? I don't know.
I mean, I wish everybody had that attitude when it comes to sequels and the like, because some things, if you just leave it alone, it can be so great.
I'm one of the people who liked Anchorman 2, but I remember thinking that about Anchorman 2, like, oh, this is...
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Do we need this? But I think there's so much funny stuff in that sequel.
Maybe Jon Favreau doesn't like the approach of like doing like a bunch of takes that are different.
Don't they sort of touch on that in that documentary too?
They mentioned that's Will Ferrell's thing, that he likes to do, like, you know.
Yeah, but then they show that there's that footage of Favreau watching him do, like, laughing and enjoying what he's doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems so odd to me.
That yeah, it's totally weird. I heard on a local radio show in L.A. that, you know, that they're that's why there's no sequel to Elf, is just because those two don't get along. But
that's what I heard. Yeah.
But I have never heard. I've never really gotten any hard evidence to suggest that. And like you said, what I know of those two guys, it seems like it would be easy to it'd be water under the bridge.
I know.
Money and make a great movie, you know.
I know it's and also and it really can't it can't be that Will Ferrell just likes doing different things, because Favreau's first few job, I mean, his first directing job was doing Maid, which is like, you know, if you ever see those outtakes, it's like Vince is constantly doing different things. I mean, it's the most of that movie is improvised. It's
yeah. Are those two guys still friends?
Favreau and Vince? Yeah, I think so.
Why aren't they making Swingers too?
Yeah, can you imagine that? Yeah, well, yeah.
All right, that's my first question. Great answer.
Yeah, mine. If you had to actually live through one of your horror movies, which one would you choose between Tusk, Jeepers Creepers, Drag Me to Hell, or Idiocracy?
God, well, I think we're all living through Idiocracy. Right. I think... as frightening as that is, well, this is going to sound really selfish, but I think I'd rather, this is going to sound really selfish. I think I'd take drag Me to Hell.
Because nothing bad happens to you in
right, right. No, I think because of that, I'd take Idiocracy. We're, like I said, we're already.
Yeah, we're kind of
getting there. We're getting into it. And also, you know, maybe ignorance is bliss, and Alison Lohman dying, I don't think I could handle, and I don't want it to get turned into a wall. I think that would be an awful way to live the rest of your life as a walrus. And then in Jeepers Creepers, I'm dead. So yeah, I'll take Idiocracy. I'll just be really dumb.
Are you in Jeepers Creepers too? Like, is that a flashback?
Yes. Thank you for asking, Doug, even though it wasn't your turn. Yes, I am. It's a flashback. A girl, one of the cheerleaders on the bus has a dream about me, where I try to warn her about the creeper.
And then how many do they make of those movies?
You know, I think they just made three. They made a three.
And they're probably trying to like start from scratch again too, right?
You know, I don't know. I remember hearing there was a story for Gina who was supposed to come back and be in the fourth. I think that was the last story. It was that she was, you know, it's like 20 years, however often the creeper rises or, you know, has to eat.
He's like a cicada, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think
they, every 12 years.
Yeah. What's a cicada? Is it 17, 18?
It's a lot, and I don't know how they keep
it's track. A lot.
Do they set a snooze alarm or something?
I don't know. They're like very patient scientists who study them. Yeah, I don't know. But I think the creeper's 20-something years, and so I think we're coming up. It's just crazy that it's been that long, but I think it's coming up on that, the actual amount of time. So that'd be fun to see Gina reprise her role. But there have been three, yeah.
Those questions I was asking, those are just bonus questions. They don't,
no.
They don't go.
Okay, I'm a real stickler, Dougs.
Those are just follow-ups.
Okay.
I know a lot of our, you know, people in power these days don't really like the follow-up questions, but I'm going to keep doing it. All right, so my second question is, why was your role in the Veronica Mars movie uncredited?
Oh, that's a good question. that's a good question. You know, I was just thinking about that last night because it was a question on Jeopardy that my brother beat me to. And it was about the Veronica Mars movie. And I thought, yeah, I should have. I just felt I should have gotten that. Why was it? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I remember it being a last minute thing. Like Kristen Bell asked me to come like the day of, or maybe the night before, as just a fun kind of cameo. Maybe they didn't want, I don't know. It's a good question.
I guess a lot of cameos go uncredited, but like you got paid though, right?
I must have gotten paid, and I don't know. It's more like a thing, like a favor, I guess, to Kristen. It was, I have no idea how that works and why some people should be uncredited. I don't know. Maybe it's like an agent thing.
Your only uncredited thing, I think.
Oh, really?
You know, because IMDb loves to throw in the people, you know, that didn't get credit, you know, just to so they can, you know, show off that they know they're in the movie.
Well, like you mentioned Tusk. I don't think Johnny Depp is credited in that, but he is in a significant amount of the movie.
Yeah, he doesn't get credit in Yoga Hosers either, I don't think.
What is that? Is that just to avoid being, if the movie doesn't...
I don't know, because he likes, because he's so disguised.
I know.
That maybe he felt like it'd be fun to see people even figure out if it's him or not.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. That wasn't the case with Veronica Mars. It wasn't my thought process.
Oh, you didn't have like a...
I wonder if people will know that it's me.
All right, Doug, go.
All right. I got excited to see that you're going to be playing the voice of Roboto on the Kevin Smith Netflix He-Man reboot.
Oh, yeah, credited.
Yeah, credited this time. Yeah. Were you a fan growing up? Was this like a childhood dream realized?
You know, I wish I could say yes, Doug. Because I knew it was when I was a kid, it was such a huge show, but I wasn't, I feel like there were kids who watched it or didn't. And I was I didn't.
Were you like a G.I. Joe guy?
No, I was a Transformers guy. A lot of Transformers and then the Gummy Bears. Remember the Gummy Bears were really big, bouncing here and there and everywhere. I just felt it was high adventure that was beyond compare. So Transformer, but yeah, not into G.I. Joe, not into GoBots, and not into Voltron. That was another big one.
Yeah, I was oddly into GoBots, which I'm maybe one of the only people I know.
Yeah, because wasn't GoBots on in the morning, as I recall? It was on before school, I think.
Yeah, kind of like a before school thing.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, the cast for this new He-Man looks great, though.
Oh, yeah, he got really good people. Who's he playing? Kevin Smith's playing somebody as well.
He's Silent He-Man.
Oh, it's perfect.
Okay, my next question for you.
That's so stupid.
I love it.
Is Bartleby the best character name you've ever had?
By the way, Bartleby is a great, yeah, well, Bartleby, I always thought about Bartleby the Scrivener. Wasn't that it was a Hawthorne short story, I think. And every time I thought people say the name, and the first thing I still think about is Bartleby the Scrivener, when they're like, they reference that, baby, you're Bartleby. Doesn't happen very often. And I think that's why a lot of characters in the other characters called him B. If I don't know if you've seen that movie lately, I just remember everyone referring to me as B, and very few people used my name.
Yeah, I guess it's a mouthful. It's a lot to say, and it's also you don't seem like a Bartleby.
Yeah, like to me, that's just too many syllables, and that's another reason why Doug is great. It's just one Doug. I mean, it's easy. It's one syllable. And I was thinking about this because of Ellen's coming out as trans and is now Elliot Page. I thought about that in the context of syllables too, like that he has he's added a syllable as well. And that would kind of annoy me. I would want to pick it.
You also just brought up an excellent point that, or a difference between the names Justin and Doug is that, you know, you if you did change your sexual orientation, you could be Justina.
Yeah. Or just Justine.
Justine, yeah. And but oh, Doug, yeah. There's no fixing that name.
When you, oh, yeah. There's no feminizing Doug, is there? What would
there
be the feminine?
There is nothing.
Yeah, there's no Douglina. Doug. Yeah. Douche.
If I change, I'll just go with Ellen.
Yeah. Well, it's free now. It's open.
Yeah.
There's one less. You could maybe just maybe you could soften the G and it could be like Dudge. It's
did
a feminine.
Anybody involved in the making of Accepted ever thought it might be fun since you're the main character that your name is Ted?
Ted, except Ted. Except Ted. That's pretty good, yeah.
It's like Mark Wahlberg played Vince in that movie Invincible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's another example of that? Yeah, Ted, except Ted. I had a guy once say to me, for some reason, I used to find this funny when people would be like, oh, you played in Accepted. I would correct them and I would say Acceptance. I would say that it was called Acceptance because somebody once said to me, they corrected me. And I said, they're like, oh, you're in that movie, Acceptance. And I go, yeah, it's Accepted. But yeah. And they go, I think it's Acceptance. So I always thought that was funny. It was like correcting the guy who was in it. So now I haven't done it in a while, but if somebody says, oh shit, you're Accepted, I'll say Acceptance. And, I just like imagining them later on, you know, telling their friends like, he insisted that it was, he doesn't know the name of his own movie.
Yeah. You've got that podcast, Todd Loves Movies. What? My name is Doug.
Then he started talking about his movie Dunk Ball. Okay, Doug, you're up.
How many injuries do you think you sustained on the set of Dodgeball?
There were a lot of, this is going to sound ridiculous because it's Dodgeball, but I remember a lot of bruises, a lot of, one day I've told this story too many times, but, Vince Vaughn was just on the podcast I do. And he reminded me of this story. And from his perspective, it was really funny because the way he tells it, we were shooting this sequence where we're all trying to catch balls that are being shot at us from like a pitching machine. And he got kind of like, when they were coming too fast, he felt when they were hitting him, and he got kind of like the older actor on set who wanted things to be safe. And so he said, you know, this is crazy. You can't have these balls coming so fast. And then he noticed that some of the crew were like, they were stifling laughter. And I think it was the director who said, well, you know, Justin's been, he's been just getting taken like balls to the face and the crotch for the last 20 minutes. I mean, I did a sequence. We did these long rolling takes where I was trying to get them to hit my, you know, the comedy zones.
Right.
and I said to Vince, I don't know if that just makes me shameless, like desperate for a laugh. And he said, I call it committed. I say you're committed. but it was, I remember them not wanting me to drive home that day. I remember them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. One of the producers took my keys, or they had moved my car. One of the transport guys moved my car, and before they gave them back, I just remember them giving them back very reluctantly, and they may have even driven me home that day because I was a little bit behind. So that was the only, you know, wow. Thing. But I also remember the first we had a week of rehearsals. We had a week of like where we were just practicing dodgeball. We were practicing with they had been the national champions. The Poughkeepsie, some team from Poughkeepsie. And so they were helping us train. And I remember being very cocky because the one sport that I was like good at, really good at in school was dodgeball. And so I was, you know, running around and being really elusive, and because I was so small and I was quick and I was terrified, so I didn't want the ball to hit me. So I was really good at it. And I remember thinking, oh, I feel bad for some of the older actors, like Root was having a hard time, and some of the older guys. And of course I was, so, you know, I was like 24, 25 at the time. And the next day I woke up, I'll never forget this. And I couldn't move. I couldn't move parts of my body. I was so sore. And I think it was just because I hadn't, dodgeball is like, you know, I hadn't played that game in I don't know how many years, 15 years.
Yeah.
And you just forget. I mean, but I was using parts of my body that I hadn't used in such a long time. I was
like, really too.
Constant movement. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually really athletic. It's really tough sport.
I hadn't really thought about it until you're talking about it. Wow. But
your
body's
like tense the whole time too.
Yes. Yeah. You're waiting for. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, we can all say thank you for your commitment, because it was hilarious.
I loved it. I loved doing it.
Did your character get hit like Steven Root, like throws wrenches at people at one point, right?
Rip Torn,
like actually hits people with a wrench.
Yeah. The director Rawson was, he had played football at a, I remember Vince saying this too. He was like, it was Division 3, but as fate would have it, he treated it like it was Division 1. He was, he was very into doing the off camera throws. Rawson was, and he was like a young, really energetic, great director, really loved, so passionate. But he was the one that would often throw for the close-ups. And when we did the close-up of the wrench hitting me, it was a prop, but it was still, it was plastic. It was made of a hard plastic, and it had like a coating of, like a softer coating on the outside. But the thing itself had some, it didn't have that much give, you know, because it couldn't look like it was wobbly at all, or it was anything but form. So it, when he threw it, it didn't hurt at all, but it I remember it cutting me right above my eyebrow. And so, and it happened to be on part of the face where it just bled. It just wasn't, they had a hard time closing up. The makeup people came in right afterwards, and normally with like a little cut, you know, you can dab it with something, but this just kept opening and kept dripping. So I think they only did, I think the first take was the only one, but it was great. I mean, the first take was fine, is what they used in the movie. I'm pretty sure we only did one take because of the blood on that. But when Rip was throwing them, you know, he was hitting a stunt pad near me, and I was doing my off camera going down, and I didn't want to do too much in his eye line. I didn't want to, like, you know, I didn't want to distract, or it's a strange thing when you're doing, you know, something physical on somebody else's coverage off camera, you know, if that makes sense. It was just a strange position to be in. And I remember at one point he said, he said I was dancing around too much. He goes, he's dancing around like a goddamn monkey. I remember him saying, he got a little sour, but you know, it helped with the character. Yeah, helped our relationship.
He's a mean son of a bitch. I mean, yeah. I still to this day don't understand why anybody would think it's a good idea to practice with wrenches. Like, it doesn't.
Well,
thing other than just injure people.
Well, it motivates you. It's a real motivator.
Oh, for sure.
Like the dodgeball itself feels great when it hits you in the face.
Right.
All right.
No, but I loved him. I he was one of my favorite actors. I was such a thrill to get to be around him. I watched so many of his movies leading up to that too. I remember watching like Payday, as great movie. Have you ever seen Payday, Doug?
I don't think I have, but I know of it.
Oh man, if you can find it, I don't know if it's on DVD, but it's fucking great. It's kind of like, it's sort of like Walk the Line. It's about like a, but not as successful a country singer.
Like Crazy Heart-ish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But really 70s and gritty and authentic. Oh, cool. And he's just fucking, apparently Waylon Jennings went to visit him because he's playing a version of Waylon Jennings. And, and he went to visit him on the set and he came into his dressing room and I guess Rip got really like confrontational. He got really like, there's some story where he wanted to fight him. And so Waylon Jennings apparently wrote on a piece of paper, people whose asses I could kick. And he wrote Rip Torn and Mama, and he crossed off Rip Torn and gave him the note. And that's how they left it. Weird. I mean, that's the story I heard. Strange story.
What a weird list.
And there's a great, yeah, you know, there's a great YouTube video of Rip and Norman Mailer going at it. Have you seen that?
Oh my God.
I haven't seen it, but yeah, I mean, Rip was definitely, he was scrappy.
He was scrappy. Yeah. He was
always getting in a fight situations and.
Yeah, but a brilliant, like one of the original Actor Studio guys. He was like Tennessee. He was like a Tennessee Williams, and you know he originated a lot of those roles that put in like really handsome actors like Paul Newman would play in the Tennessee.
Oh
Williams
yeah,
movies.
He went from like he got to be handsome leading man and cross actor all in one career.
Yeah, he was just brilliant.
Was the mama
right?
Go for it.
Whose turn is it?
Yeah, yeah, your turn.
Okay. Justin, what do you think the IMDb site, what do you think they think is your trademark?
Oh, I actually know this. Yeah, it's like, it's been on there for like 20 years. It's ridiculous. It's like, wait, don't tell. I mean, it's like, fuck, how do they phrase it? Is it a bush grin or like heavy eyebrows? Is it something about my eyebrows?
No, it's you're right about the grin. It's you're Tucking. Known for your friendly smile.
Uh-huh. Doesn't it say I'm like, I look like Tim Allen too?
Oh, I don't know how much more, how deeper it goes. I just stopped right at friendly smile because, because it just cracked me up as a descriptor.
Yeah, it's so generic.
Like well, how many smiles are unfriendly?
I know, that's true. I know, his sinister smile.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's so generic. It makes me sound even more generic than people probably already think I am.
Hey, just all you gotta do is show up and flash that trademark friendly smile, and everybody just melts.
Even if I'm angry.
All right, Doug, your turn.
How would you rank the following: tacos, baseball, Batman? What order?
Oh, damn. Okay.
And
tacos, baseball, and Batman.
And it's like the best version of each.
Yeah,
of those.
Whatever your best version is in your head.
Okay. Tacos, baseball. Well, I would say tacos first. It's just I've gotten the most pleasure, I think, out of eating tacos of those three things. But they're all very close. Baseball, I've had a lot of fun watching. Usually not regular season games, but
yeah,
and when I was a kid, I like watching playoffs, and I still play catch with friends. I still like to throw baseball around. So that's close. Tacos and baseball are very close. I like Batman a lot, but he doesn't do it nearly as much for me as those other two. I'd say the Michael Keaton Batman is probably my favorite.
Well, that's the weird thing about Batman is like, you know, he kind of makes it hard for you to be a fan of him.
Yeah.
Because he's just pretty rigid and just does his thing. Like is all this, all the, you know, the bad guys and stuff.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I, it's true. Even, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about Michael Keaton, he was so much more, I guess I'm thinking more about his Bruce Wayne than, but God, there was nothing cooler than that. Does that just mean that we're old? We just like the things that were
From our, yeah.
From our age, from our generation. I mean,
that,
like.
That summer of movies.
So, but I think I can be pretty objective.
Yes.
I think that Michael Keaton, when he's Bruce Wayne, is probably the best Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just like a guy, but he also, you know, seems to have some, you know, some balls and some attitude. And just that,
yeah.
When he's saying, let's get nuts, that's like the best part.
Yeah. He says, I'm bad. Like, who are you? That setup line. Who are you? And that I'm Batman is, that's tough to beat. That's just one of
those. It was so perfect because, you know, there was no internet, but there was definitely a massive uproar over Michael Keaton being Batman. So then for
right.
the movie to turn out to be one of the biggest hits ever and to have that moment where he's like angrily telling somebody that he's Batman, it was pretty perfect.
Yeah, I remember the teaser for that trailer for
months
in advance and just being so excited to see the
film. Yeah, yeah, me too. And Doug, you mentioned that what a great summer for movies that was. Was that the also Back to the Future sequels?
I think so, Lethal Weapon 2. Indiana Jones and the Last
Crusade. Oh yeah, fuck. Which
it
still
was a big one.
I saw that again recently. God, does that hold up?
Weekend of Bernie's, maybe.
Oh, yeah, really? Sure. not Gremlins 2. Was Gremlins 2 that time?
Maybe. Parenthood, Do the Right Thing.
Oh, oh wow.
Real Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Wow.
Ghostbusters 2.
Why do you remember this one summer so vividly?
I think it was just this.
Yeah, I remember. I know what you're. Yeah.
Yeah, I think just because Batman and I would record on VHS all these trailers off
yes.
of what E was before E, and then I would just watch those trailers over and over again, getting excited for Batman. But then in turn, I got so excited for all these other films.
Oh, that's right. I remember that E! Show where it was just the trailers.
Yeah.
I loved that. Yes. And the hype, too, was like, those Batman things were everywhere. God, I can't believe it was 30 years ago.
Everybody was doing the bat dance.
Yeah.
Bill Ames.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got one last question. And do you have more, too, Doug?
Yeah, one more.
Okay, so here's my fifth question. You're in a Britney Spears video?
I don't know if I'm in the video. I'm in the movie she did. Maybe I am in the video. Which one?
She made a movie?
Doug, how do you not know this? I'm not saying this because it's a classic, but because you know so much about movies. Is this that obscure?
Well, she was in that as an actress. She only did Crossroads, right?
Right, right. That's the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw on IMDb. There's some video that's listed as one of your credits. That it looks like it's a Britney Spears video.
Oh, maybe
Pharrell.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't shoot it. I don't remember shooting. Oh my God. Oh, please tell me I'm not. Losing my mind. I don't think so, but they may have used footage from the movie Crossroads. That's what I can.
Oh, I see.
That's the best I can. Yeah. Maybe I was. I'm surprised I was credited in that.
you're in Crossroads.
I mean, credited in Crossroads. Proudly credited.
What's your character? What do you do?
What role did I get my hands on?
Yeah.
I play Henry. I don't remember if he had a last name. Henry was a had a very friendly smile. And he was Pakish. He was her lab partner, and they have a deal. Brittany's character, I'm forgetting, but they had a deal that they were going to lose their virginity together on prom night because Brittany plays like a science geek. In the movie. why are you laughing? And we're friends. So we're like science geek friends. And so we have like a night together, or I have this whole thing planned out that I got the hotel room, and then she tells me that it just doesn't feel right after we're in bed and we're about to do it. And she says it feels weird. and I'm disappointed.
Then she hits the road and you're not in the rest of the movie?
Yeah. And so I help convince her that she needs to get out and explore and meet different men.
Oh my God. I got to watch that part again, 'cause I really did not remember that you were in it. And it's a classic movie. I mean, the friend finding out she's having a baby and tries to throws herself down the stairs to try to lose.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. There's some heavy stuff in it.
It's intense.
And I was thinking about it. I posted something on Instagram about the movie, because I had found this picture and from back then. And I was thinking about Brittany. It was her birthday recently, and just how sweet she was and how nice she was to work with. And I always felt so bad about how she, you know, how she's been treated by
these
tabloids. And it's just really like cruel, I think, what the media did to her. But
are you the Justin she always talks about?
but you know, that movie had, I was thinking of, I hadn't thought about it in so long, but I remember the Tamara Davis, I being excited to work with her. She directed it, and
oh wow,
and Shonda Rhimes wrote it, and Eric Edwards, this DP, who shot some of my favorite, he shot To Die For and My Own Private Idaho. And he was this like great DP. I remember there being like a really cool pedigree, and they let me just blatantly rip off the scene from Take the Money and Run, which is one of my favorite moments, where he's preparing the room for, he thinks he's about to have sex. And so he's getting it all kind of ready. He puts baby powder on himself, and the baby powder goes everywhere. And they let me do that. They let me play around. It was such a fun job.
I got to watch it again, 'cause I remember finding it to be a very entertaining movie, despite its flaws. Like,
yeah.
They could only do so much with it.
Right.
This movie ever. And last, I guess, 'cause I don't feel like she, do you think she got out of the acting game?
there's a chance. I'd like to think not. There is definitely a chance. Yeah, that's true. She never did anything after that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously had a great career.
No. I mean, as an actress, as an actor. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she, I don't know.
She might have discovered that, you know, there's a lot of sitting around making a movie, and she's more learning choreography and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember she was very, very sweet. I do remember that.
All right, Doug, hit him with your final question.
My last and hardest question. If you had to choose between saving Baby Yoda and Gizmo, who would it be?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's tough. You know, my first reaction, my just instinct would is Gizmo, only because there's, and this is going to sound arrogant about, I guess, about my species, but there's something more human about Gizmo. He speaks, and I think he communicates in a more human way. And I don't know. And again, maybe it's just like a childhood thing. I mean, I discovered Gizmo at a more formative time in my life, probably a more compassionate time. And I just love that movie so much. I really enjoyed The Mandalorian, but Gizmo to me is, there's something a little bit more sacred about that character.
They are equally adorable, I think. I think they both have that going for them. But Gizmo, I just always flash to when he gets wet after midnight or whatever. The process of the other gremlins popping out of him, he seems like he's in terrible pain.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to watch.
You know that was Howie Mandel?
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't.
Yeah.
Know. Yeah. Oh,
and he does a I
Bobby
remember
character.
Bobby's World.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very.
Yeah,
both Baby Yoda and Gizmo are both so cute, but it's hard on top of that, because Gizmo gets into so much trouble. He never follows directions, always multiplies, and that causes hell. And then Baby Yoda, you save him, half the galaxy is looking for you, you know?
So, well, that's true. There are huge ramifications. And also, there's something about Baby Yoda is so powerful on its own that I feel like probably doesn't need as much protection as Gizmo. And now that I think about it, there's something about the Baby Yoda's eyes that aren't as accessible. There's something a little bit more, almost like they're shark eyes. You know, there's something, they're not quite as Gizmo-y, like accessible.
He's at his cutest when he makes a noise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who does that voice?
Like when he responded to hearing his own name when he finally got called Grogu, he was like, huh?
Oh, that second season, Doug?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, spoiler alert. I haven't started it. Now I know his name's Grogu. Thanks.
I've been sitting on that one for
Okay.
A couple days ago, and I thought, well, people must know by now, because there's now this, you know, yet another episode just came out today.
Oh, yeah. I can't be my brother's called me out for saying this, but I realize that I say, I'm dying to see that a lot, or I'm dying to read that, or I'm dying to do this. And he finally said, which is so true, he's like, well, you can't be dying to see it. I mean, you have Disney Plus, you have the ability to see it. If you were dying to see it, you would have seen it by now.
Sometimes you put off things that you're excited about because you know it's going to be, you know, something you'll enjoy, but you know, you want to have it.
I think this is the case. Yeah. Now, that's what happened with Borat. I still haven't seen the second Borat because I know. I'm excited to see it.
That's a great one to sit on for a while and then watch it, because like also the talk about it has died down.
So yes.
You don't have too many spoilers running around in your head.
Yeah, and the hype is not as intense. And
well, you do find out that Borat's real name is Grogu.
Oh, as well? Whoa. Yeah. Borat's real name is Baby Yoda.
Cuthbert.
Thank you for Cuthbert, being here, yes. Dustin. That was you answered all the questions honestly, straightforwardly.
And correct.
Oh, good. Well, thanks, Doug. This was really fun. I'm sorry my name's not Doug, but I'm really flattered that you had a non-Doug on. And
you're still, a member of the club, even though, you know.
An honorary Doug.
Not official. Yeah, that's it. That's what I meant to say. You're an honorary Doug. Your robe will arrive soon. And along with your suicide meal.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
So welcome to the cult. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Doug.
For coming up with all those great questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
And thanks to all the Dougs and non-Dougs who listened.
And I think we should call it, I think this episode, you know, since Justin was in Dodgeball and we talked about it, that we should just call this episode Doug Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Doug Ball with Justin Long.
Yeah.
All right.
I second that. No, you just need a two Doug boat.
Until next time, let's play Doug Ball.
Got it.